Hey guys, it's time for another episode of True Crime on Easy Street. I can't believe it's already been a week since we recorded one of these. We've got everything plugged back in again this week, and the sound is fantastic. Katie, thank you. Give yourself a high five because I can't reach you from here. My name is Scott Wright. I am a mediocre journalist.
My name is Kelly Turner, and I'm not a doctor.
I'm Katie Givens. I'm not a lawyer.
So today we're going to tackle something. You know, we talk about this from time to time on the show. We move around. Mm-hmm. We started out in Alabama exclusively, and then we've reached out into some other areas of the country and around the world since then. But today, all of you folks in Alabama who listen to True Crime on Easy Street will be glad to know that we are right back here in Alabama again. Kelly is in the big chair today, and she's going to tell us about something that happened 10 years ago this month in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
10 years ago in February, not January.
Oh, yeah. But so almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, very close.
What month is this?
January.
I've been drinking this morning. I apologize. Somebody poured Kahlua into my coffee.
I'm shocked.
Yes. Color us shocked.
Anyway, go ahead. Okay. Tell the story. We have some other things to do before we get started with the show. But all right, you guys go ahead.
So we have what we're calling, I think we may change this because we can do what we want. It's our podcast. But we have something we are calling a palate cleanser.
That's right.
We've had some really...
disgusting.
Ooh, tough. Morbid. Stories to get through. Yeah. And today is a sad story. There's no exception to today's rule. It's not as, it's not John Wayne Gacy and it's not, you know, Danny Rowling and that level. It's still a tragedy that happened in the state of Alabama. But before we get to that, we're going to do our palate cleanser story. And so from time to time, when we come across these outrageous stories.
And this is one.
It is.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It makes you think the truth truly is stranger than fiction.
Yeah, so we're going to poke you in the ribs before we get serious today.
Exactly. Exactly. So, in June of 2022, so not too long ago.
Just a few months ago.
Past summer, okay. In the great town of Wetumpka, Alabama. That's where we are for our palate cleanser today. And I'm just going to read straight from an article here, and we'll reference it in our show notes. I'll make sure that we have all of that. A municipal judge found two women guilty on all charges in a case that started when they were caught feeding and trapping cats on public property near the courthouse. End quote. That's the first sentence of this article.
That's a nice lead. I mean, I'm already hooked. I don't know what happens next, but I'm hooked. I'm going to read the rest after I read that.
They were caught feeding cats. And so 61-year-old Mary Alston and 85-year-old Beverly Roberts received 2 years of unsupervised probation and $50 fines plus the court costs for each charge. And then the judge threw on top of that a suspended sentence of 10 days in jail for both women. Now, they didn't serve any time because it was suspended. Mm-hmm. And their probation is unsupervised.
That is the best kind of probation to get, I'm assuming.
I'm assuming.
And I guess that's saying, don't mess up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a small, you know, $50 fine plus the court costs. So, you know, not too... For feeding and trapping
cats. But a couple
cats,
of old ladies probably living on Social Security.
I don't know. I don't know anything
about
that.
You're going to smack them with $50? That's what do they do exactly?
Okay, well, let me say this. I think that the judge at this point, the reason we're seeing this, all of this, is because by the time this hearing was over, this hearing took an entire day out of people's lives that they can never get back.
Okay.
And I think by this point, the judge was like, you know what? Just hear. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. Y'all don't do this again.
Go forth and sin no more.
Do not get in back up in here in my courtroom.
Yeah.
I don't know that, but that's just kind of my deal. So you can watch the footage of the body cam, the officer's body cam, and see the entire thing happen.
And they're convinced, these two elderly ladies, that they're doing a service to the community because they are catching cats that they are going to take down to the animal shelter and have spayed or neutered so that they don't create another problem.
That's their story.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So the what you see is the body cam starts with the 61-year-old, and she's there, and she has her car parked there, and it's an area that's kind of near the courthouse. And apparently, what we don't know by this article is, I'm not saying the article is bad. I'm just saying there's more to this story.
Watch out. I defend mediocre journalists all over the state of Alabama. No.
It's not a mediocre article. It's just to give you the backstory before this happened. Apparently, this has been going on for some time, and the mayor and everybody near the courthouse, everybody that works there near that area, they're sick of this, because what's happening is they're leaving this food out to try and trap these cats. Well, it's not just attracting cats. There's all kinds of other
squirrels
wildlife
and raccoons and possums and whatever.
This is attracting.
Okay.
And so they had been asked to not.
So they have turned the courthouse parking lot into a wild animal zoo in Wetumpka.
And so much so that the person who's over the city transportation, you know, they have the public vehicles and things that are usually parked in the parking lot there of those city buildings, courthouse,
sure,
things like that, said that it's getting so bad that one of the animals, possibly a cat, maybe something else, had burrowed into some of the service trucks and chewed wires.
Oh yeah,
and chewed, you know, it messed up. It was causing damage. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's, you know, two sides to everything. So the lady's sitting there, the 61-year-old, and she's got her trap set and she's got her food, and the cop comes up, and you can tell that the police officer just doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, I don't want to arrest grandma, but they have told me that I have to do this.
The mayor has called. And they have sent three police officers out there. Okay. So she turns around and she goes, "There's three of you for me feeding cats?" I mean, it's a valid statement, but the officer's like, "Ma'am, will you please just get your stuff? You're on city property." She's like, he says, "You're trespassing." She's like, "I'm not trespassing. This is public property." And he's like, "Well, it's owned by the city, and they've asked that you not be here, and feeding these cats is causing a problem." And she just continues to argue.
Yeah, she was semi-belligerent.
She is.
It seems like we didn't get
now
the first tape.
She's not the belligerent one. Just wait until the 85-year-old gets out there. She gets out there. So then later the footage cuts to they have to come back. Not only is the 61-year-old still there, but now the 85-year-old has pulled her car up there, and she's sitting there, and they're saying, "Look, you can't be here." And he tells the 85-year-old, "Now, you've already been hit with trespassing. You know you're not supposed to be here."
Oh God! So they've had this conversation,
and she's like, "I'm not. I'm in my car. I'm not on." And he's like, "But your car's parked."
Yeah, they should have consulted with an attorney.
Public property. And
probably.
She just won't go. She's like, and they're kind of laughing. They're not really taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that the cops are, and the reason there's three, there are two police officers that they send, and one guy is training. So that's why there's three.
Okay.
They didn't just send three cops.
They didn't send everybody, because that's probably everybody in Wetumpka.
They sent two, and one guy's training. And so he even lets the guy training tell the lady, you know, he said he ran her driver's license. He said, "Take this and tell her," you know, and he's like, "Ma'am, you got to go. You're trespassing." I mean, they don't want to be doing this.
Yeah.
And they won't go. They will not go. One lady just keeps getting her food and her traps. I mean, she's just going to keep doing what she's doing.
She's just going to work while they're watching.
Yeah. And then one lady says, "This is what you are wasting city gas on." Mm-hmm. Coming here.
You know, there's that old Jerry Seinfeld joke where he's like, you know, once you get to a certain age, you don't even look in the mirror anymore. You're just like, "I'm old and I'm backing up. So get out of the way."
And it was like, "I'm going to do whatever I want to do."
Yeah.
And so then it gets to the point where he's like, "All right, so you refuse to leave, both of you, so we're going to have to take you in." And they still don't fully understand that. So the 85-year-old, then she gets out of her car and she starts walking over to the other woman. He's like, "Ma'am, where are you going?" Where are you going? I've just told you you're being arrested. She said, I'm giving my keys to her so that she can move my car. So she's, you know, she's trying to say, I'm not going to leave my car.
It's on the cusp of cooperation, but I'm not convinced yet.
I'm not going to leave my car and I'm not going to leave my pocketbook here. You're not going to separate an old lady from her pocketbook now. Come on, guys. Don't try to do that.
Right.
So she starts walking and he's like, give it to the other officer. Because there's another officer dealing with a 61-year-old. He's like, you know, still trying to get her to leave.
Is there a helicopter hovering overhead yet?
They haven't called in the SWAT team or anything like that yet. All right. So she takes her keys and she slams those keys into the other officer's face. I mean, like,
wait a minute.
And the whole, and while she does it, as she's slamming the keys into his hand, she goes, and I quote, you son of a bitch.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. That may probably be more trouble.
That's probably not the best.
It is.
Did she just assault a police officer?
Well, he said, now you got another charge.
Ooh.
So they handcuff this 85-year-old woman behind her back, hands behind her back. They try to put her in one car, and she can't get up in there. Because her hands are behind her back.
Yeah.
And she, her back.
She's 85.
She's 85.
Maybe this was just bucket list for her. She just wanted to get arrested.
She's 85 years old. So they finally get her into the back of a car. And she just kind of lays down, like in the back. You know, because she doesn't have her balance. So she just kind of shimmies in the back of the car and just kind of lays down. So it goes to court. And they spend an entire day in court testifying. They bring in animal experts. They bring in all this. Because in their mind, and in the minds of the animal experts, they're doing a good deed for the city. And they say that in the cam. You can see that. What you said earlier, this is what they're trying to do. They're putting out the food. They're trying to catch the cats.
Right.
They're trying to spay or neuter them.
Yeah, they're not making cat stew at home in their basement later. They're trying to do a good thing. They're probably involved in the Humane Society.
Yes. Then the transportation guy, you know, and some other people from City Hall testify that it's a nuisance that they have been asked to stop doing this. There's buzzards. You know, the parking lot is becoming a zoo.
Yeah.
According to the workers. It's a problem.
Yeah, you get birds involved and I'm out.
And like, buzzards are huge. Yeah. So it's causing a problem. Then you have another animal expert who says, well, cats don't really burrow into cars. That sounds more like a rodent problem. Mm-hmm. I think that probably hurt their case worse because they're like, oh, well, now you've attracted rats.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And the cats aren't going to eat the rats because they're getting food.
Wow.
The cats are not going to do their cat job. So it's just a problem. And this took an entire day. And so the judge just finally sentenced them to
I bet everyone was over this by the end of this.
I'm sure
no
they were.
One wants to stay all day in the courthouse anyway.
Can you imagine what's the court? What's the person who sits there and
the stenographer?
The yeah. Reporter, can you imagine being that person?
No.
Hyping this up.
No.
Anyway, so they that's what they got and still think that they are, you know, we're doing a good deed.
I wonder if they'll be back.
Yep. Keep your finger on the pulse of that story because that may not be the end of it. And you just goes to show that you don't have to go any further than Alabama to get shit nuts crazy on a true crime podcast.
Well, you know, we may actually get to give an update if they do mm-hmm. if they do this again. We may get to give an update and another Murdoch update in the same episode.
They'll have to spend some time in jail if they get arrested again.
I think this judge will be done with them mm-hmm. if they're, and the mayor is already done with them.
Yeah, because if they break their probation, like I'm sure he'll make them stay.
And what do we not know? Maybe there's a family squabble involved in this. Maybe great grandma and the mayor are on opposite sides. I'm just making things up now, but there's something going on that we don't know about.
Yeah, this is my personal opinion, but I got the sense that there was an issue between the two ladies and possibly the mayor or someone high up.
Yeah.
In the area, but that's just me. I don't know if that's really true or not, but
they fought the law and the law won.
that's they did. They tried. And so no more feeding cats on city property in Wetumpka. Yeah. So if you're near that area,
just keep driving.
Just don't do it.
Keep driving.
And I know that one officer did report that the way it read was he did see the lady there at the scene and she was in possession of Fancy Feast.
Oh, no.
So, you know, there we go.
The worst has been confirmed.
There's our palate cleanser for the day.
I think I still feel a little dirty.
I know. So there we go. So before we get into our story, how was your weekend?
I had a great weekend. I sat with your husband yesterday. We watched the Alabama basketball game, and he mentioned that you and the family and some friends went to the Fox Theater in Atlanta, which is not very far from here. You know, we're located right here in the ABC Triangle, Atlanta, Birmingham, Chattanooga. And the Chamber of Commerce is one of our huge sponsors. I met a couple of guys over the weekend, just briefly. Knute and Don, they are from Minnesota.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota.
They are here for an entire month. They rented a house on Weiss Lake here in beautiful Cherokee County, Alabama. They were asking me where they could go to ride ATVs. And I said, because I remembered, because Teresa and Joy are our sponsors here on the show.
Yes, the
you
chamber.
Should reach out to the Chamber of Commerce. And they did. And I saw them again yesterday. And they had already found where to go to ride their ATVs. And they've got some fishing guides lined up. Just everything that you think that the Chamber of Commerce would be good at.
Mm-hmm.
Our Chamber of Commerce is good at that. And hook these guys up. And they're here for a month from Minnesota just to visit Cherokee County, Alabama and Weiss Lake. So. Got to meet those guys, so a shout out. I forgot to tell them about the show.
Oh, well,
but I'm sure that I will see them again.
So when they're listening back to this, welcome to
Knute and Don. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for reaching out to the Chamber of Commerce.
That's awesome.
Sorry to mean to turn that into an advertisement.
No, I love that. We love our sponsors here.
Yeah, we do indeed. Yeah. So if you guys want to skip over the 30-second spot later in the show, you can, but please don't, because you will get some other information that we did not include here.
That's right.
But anyway.
Very, very important.
So that's what happened to me this weekend. So you went to the Fox Theater.
I did.
Briefly.
We saw Hadestown. Very excellent show.
That's Greek mythology, I think you mentioned before we went on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With a New Orleans flair.
It does have that.
Shrimp and grits.
The music is wonderful.
Was shrimp and grits on the menu at the Fox Theater?
No. But it was on the restaurant that we went to before.
Very nice.
Ah, the whole little theme night.
I know. I didn't eat that, though. I actually ate empanadas before I...
Okay. But in the same...
It was a very eclectic menu because I had falafel balls and then I had empanadas.
Okay. That's rice and beans and...
It's like chickpeas.
Chickpeas, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So a little Mediterranean, a little...
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Katie, I heard that there was a fantastic crowd last night at Easy Street for the Shane Givens Band.
There sure was. I got to run the lights.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
was that the first time?
I had a little job. Yes. Press a couple of buttons, but.
Okay.
You know,
well,
everyone was.
You're usually pretty good at that here, so that works
that
out.
Light show.
I'm sure it was. I bet it was the best light show Easy Streets ever seen.
That's what perfect. That's what I was telling the people. But
okay,
you know.
Well then, that's what we're going to run with here.
Yeah,
exactly.
So a good crowd. So everybody had a good weekend, and it's late January now.
Yeah.
So we've got, is there anything coming up that we want to tell anybody about? Of course, we're doing a bunch of brand new things in 2023 that we're not going to spoil that surprise because I can already see you giving me that eye.
Yep,
so I can't tell anything about what's coming up, but some fantastic things, some new venues. We just did the palate cleanser. That's something we're going to add in 2023.
That's the first of many this year.
First of many this year.
Because let me just tell you, we're not hurting for stories.
Yeah, and we're getting to the point where we've been doing this long enough that we've covered enough cases that there are updates to ongoing cases. We mentioned the Murdochs earlier and maybe this cat thing in Wetumpka, which sounds like it could get completely out of hand before it's all over.
We're going to have cat watch 2023.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't know, but we know we've got a bunch of things on the bulletin board. Most of those index cards are still blank at this point, but we're going to fill them in as we go along and we will share it with you at the right time.
Yeah.
And that's
we have a vision board that literally just says by the seat of our pants.
Yeah, that's correct. So, but that's, is there anything else we need to?
Do you have the winner?
Terry Kelly from Leesburg was the winner of the $500 bull hard cash contest. One of our sponsors is the Cherokee Post Herald.
Oh,
and that was the contest that we have been promoting during our commercial segment for the last several weeks.
Yes.
And so Terry Kelly was one of dozens of people who signed up for a new subscription chose the 14 bowl games that we put on the entry list. He chose 12 of 14 correctly. We didn't even need the tiebreaker. And so he got the $500 first place cash prize. Nice. And we shared that on all of our Facebook pages so you can see what Terry looks like. He looks very happy. He is holding a check too, for 500 yeah. bucks. So.
I'd be happy too.
Awesome. Yeah, so that's, and we're going to keep, they're going to continue to be a sponsor, the Post-Herald. When I say they, I mean me, because I work there. So we're going to continue to be a sponsor and promote ourselves and subscription drives and things like that. But and Terry Keller was the big winner.
We are appreciative. We love the Post.
Well, I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but I will take one.
We love it. We love it. Okay, Katie, anything else?
I think we're solid.
We're good.
Ready to go.
Okay, so we will get to our story, which is an Alabama story mm-hmm. today, our true crime story here. This true crime today takes place in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or it took place in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So on February the 24th, 2013, police were called to a home located in the Highlands area of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Scott, do you know that area?
I do. It's a nice, it's an upscale neighborhood. It's sort of, I don't want to say that it's walled off necessarily or fenced off, but it is certainly, there's high shrubbery between mm-hmm. the roadway and this area of town. A lot of nicer homes. There's a big archway with wrought iron and blocks that introduce you into the neighborhood. So it's a very upscale neighborhood. I didn't go there a lot when I was a student. I was not invited to that part of town.
I bet you were not.
I was totally not.
Well, I've seen pictures of this wrought iron gate you're talking about. Yeah. It's a very pretty gate.
And very nice like area of town.
It does look like a very nice area. So police were called to a home there. A body had been discovered, and the body was the owner of the home, who was 73-year-old Kate Ragsdale. She was found dead in the hallway of her home by a neighbor around 5 p.m. on that day. Tuscaloosa police and the Tuscaloosa County Metro Homicide Unit were called there to investigate, and that's where they found her. She was the only resident of the home. So she lives by herself. She owned the home. Mm-hmm. Now, what Captain Lloyd Baker of the Tuscaloosa County Metro Homicide Unit originally said is, quote, "It is not initially clear what the cause of death was. However, it was very clear that it was a homicide." So they knew immediately this woman's been murdered, but it took the autopsy to let them know exactly how she had been murdered. So the medical examiner determined the cause of death to be sharp force injury.
So like, is that a type of like blunt force trauma?
I would think more of a stabbing.
I assume from that they didn't sharp know the exact cause of death. There must have been a lot of blood involved at the crime scene, so they knew that she didn't just have a heart attack and drop in the hallway.
Yes, they knew that it wasn't that she was just found lying in her hallway. So they say sharp force injury. Now, Captain Baker said he would not speak any further at this point about the investigation or the victim's wounds or any weapon used. Hmm. So they release this and then he zips it up.
Well, that's what they hold back, right? They want to make sure that they find, if they do find the person, they've got this information that no one else knows.
Yes.
To help weed out anybody who might.
Yes. And he said it's unknown if Miss Ragsdale was targeted specifically, but they do believe that she was murdered by an intruder.
Someone's broke in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They also, at this point, did not have a suspect and do not know why or how the suspect was there. So there's, you know, not a whole lot that they do know what they will say. They're not really.
Yeah.
And he gives this Lieutenant Baker, or Captain Baker, I'm sorry, Captain Baker gives a really good quote as to why he's keeping this information. And, you know, the public wants to know everything.
Yes.
We think we need to be in the know about everything. And there are times that things are held back for too long. And then when they do release it, the public is no longer any help because it's been too long. you know,
right.
We can't help you with a certain type of curtain or fabric at this point. It's been 20 years, you know, mm-hmm. kind of example.
Sure.
But he gives a great method to the madness of why. And I think people can get behind that once they hear it. And he says, quote, there will be some held back information on this case simply because we know things only the suspect knows, and that helps us to cull leads that are coming in. And when you have a case of this magnitude, you get a lot of leads. Some are good and some are false. And to sort through those, sometimes it helps to know things that the public doesn't know.
Yeah.
End quote. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
He comes out and he just says this immediately.
That sounds like a crime investigation 101.
Yes.
And we run across that a lot.
Yes. And people forget that. They're like, why are they holding all this information? And I've even asked that before. But he's saying when you get all of these tips coming in, you got to have a way to sift through them. And you can't show all your cards at that point.
Well, I remember when we were talking about the Zodiac case last year, there was certain information that the cops withheld. The number of times the gun was fired, or the number of wounds, or the location of wounds. It was just things that, again, it's to help.
Yes.
Make sure that you don't have some nutball.
And that is such, I was so shocked by that when I got into true crime, that is a thing that people will claim responsibility for a crime they did not commit.
We've got 12 D.B. Cooper deathbed confessions so far.
Yeah, it is one of the wilder, like, psychological things for people. Like, why? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
And you know, D.B. Cooper, that was kind of cool. People think that's cool.
I get that, sure.
So I could probably get on board with why people would confess that. But
why
people would call and confess to some sort of brutal murder is beyond me. And they have to have ways to rule people out and say, no, you didn't.
Yeah, I did once confess to driving a black Trans Am from Atlanta to Texarkana, Texas, and back to haul 400 illegal cases of Coors beer across state lines, and I did not do that.
No, you did not.
But I did confess to it at least once.
Probably a lot of other guys your age, too.
Probably so.
As a big movie.
Yeah.
All right, so in the years that followed, investigators have followed up on hundreds of leads and interviewed hundreds of people, including neighbors and construction workers that were doing work nearby. Now, we've brought that up before. There was construction in the area. It had just started a few days before this murder. And we've talked about that in other cases.
Yeah.
When there was construction going on mm-hmm. and we had child cases. We had, you know, sex offender.
That was over. That was just
murder.
Across the state line in Georgia. That was one of those that you're talking about. He was up in a bucket working on the power lines or trimming trees. And it turns out that he was the perpetrator.
Yep. So they have looked into neighbors. Initially, the neighbors really couldn't all get on the same page as to when they had last seen Miss Ragsdale, because they believe that she was there for about a day before she was found.
Okay.
So, but the neighbors had conflicting stories on when they last saw her. So, of course, they're going to really look into the neighbors and try to get a sense of not only looking at them as a possible suspect, but help us get a timeline here, because that's going to be the most helpful. We need to narrow this down to a shorter span of time as we can. And so then following up on construction workers and things like that. So that's initially what happened when the murder was discovered in February of 2013. Now, who was Kate Ragsdale? I want to take some time and tell you about this lady.
Okay.
This episode of True Crime on Easy Street is brought to you by the Chamber of Cherokee County, and they would like to remind you to shop local. Put your money into those local businesses that help you, your clubs, your ball teams, your organizations, all of your sales. They help you, so help them. Shop local.
All right, guys. So one of our most amazing sponsors is the Post-Herald, a newspaper here in Cherokee County. I happen to be the managing editor, and we are doing a subscription drive, and we have talked about this on the show. It's a bull hard cash contest. We're going to give away $500. We're going to announce that next week in the paper. We had dozens of entries to pick all of the bowl games, the big ones. And we've got a tiebreaker that's going to happen. It will all have already happened on Monday night. You're going to listen to this on Wednesday. So the game was 2 days ago, Georgia versus TCU. But when that happens, we will have a winner and we will announce it on our Facebook page. And you can always subscribe to the Post Herald by calling 256-927-4476 for as little as $20 a year, depending on your zip code. Call us for details.
And you don't want to miss what is coming up this week at Easy Street. Like always, Tuesday nights are bingo, Wednesday nights open mic night, Thursday nights trivia. But this Friday, January 20th, is going to be our first ever live band karaoke. You can't miss that. And then Saturday, we have Last Band Standing. We'll see y'all there. And now back to the show.
Catherine Kate Webb Ragsdale was born in Durham, North Carolina on January the 28th, 1940. Her parents were James and Margaret Webb. And she grew up in Hillsboro and Greensboro, North Carolina, and graduated from St. Mary's School in Raleigh, North Carolina, where she was the valedictorian of her class.
Oh.
She received her bachelor's in religion from Sweetbriar College. I mean, doesn't that just sound like the sweetest lady you know? She received her bachelor's in religion from Sweetbriar. Mm-hmm. Like, when she gets out of bed every morning and walks around, the birds are following her singing, right?
Yeah, it sounds pretty wholesome.
And her MLS from the School of Library and Information Studies at the University of Alabama. So that's what she was doing in Alabama. She got her master's there and then began working at the University of Alabama in the 1980s at the Human Resources Institute in the College of Commerce and Business Administration. Now, after earning her degree in library science, she was hired as the university library's planning officer and gained the rank of associate professor. She was awarded the Library Leadership Award for faculty in 2004, and in 2012, she received the Distinguished Alumni Award from the University of Alabama School of Library and Information Studies. She's a librarian.
Yeah, I probably met her in the hallway at one point at the Amelia Gale Gorgas Library when I was a student there in the late 80s and early 90s.
I'm sure you did.
Possibly.
She was constantly involved in campus-wide committees. So she's gotten a Distinguished Alumni Award, a Library Leadership Award. Why would someone want to murder this woman?
Sounds random so far.
So Deborah Lane, who at the time of this interview was a UA assistant vice president for university relations. I don't know if she still is to this day. But she said in a statement, quote, Kate Ragsdale played a key role in the growth and development of the university libraries in her long career as a planning officer and had remained actively involved in the UA Retiree Association since her retirement in 2006.
Oh, so she, I just assumed that she had just recently retired, but she'd been retired for 7 years.
But was still active. Even in 2012.
She probably had a pretty good state pension.
Yeah.
After all of that time.
Distinguished Alumni Award. Mm-hmm. She was an active member of Christ Episcopal Church, where she was a member of the Altar Guild and has served as president and secretary of Murphy Guild. Now, I'm not really schooled in the Episcopalian Church, but what I'm getting from this is she was, whatever she was involved with, she was an active participant.
Right.
Yeah. She's not sitting on the sidelines.
She's very involved.
Right? Now, here's another thing that's near and dear to my heart. She was involved with many civic organizations. She was a member of the Friends of the Library Board and for many years served on the board of the West Alabama AIDS Outreach. She was a member of the Junior League and the Colonial Dames. If there was an organization or a club, I mean, Kate Ragsdale is
in it. Yeah.
She's in it.
Yeah.
And not only is she in it, she's thriving. She's shining.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at pictures of her, you can see her at various World AIDS Day events that she went to. She's an HIV advocate.
Wow.
I'm just...
Perhaps touched in some way in her family. We don't know, but
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. For whatever reason, she got involved in the cause.
She got involved. Kate was known for her devotion and loyalty to her family and friends and her sense of humor and enthusiastic approach to life. Among her many interests were music, dance, sports, travel, and gardening. She was an avid fan of University of Alabama football, Scott. Also basketball, gymnastics, baseball, and softball. She was also known for her great fondness of animals. So she's active on the campus. She's going to all the sporting events. She's participating in the clubs and the committees and the advocacy things.
But if I'm looking at this from an investigator's point of view, this just makes it that much harder to figure out what happened to her because she is out in the community. She's everywhere.
Who is her enemy?
I don't know that anybody's her enemy, but she's advertising herself in all of these different venues and all of these different locations. Maybe somebody is just a bad seed and went, wait a minute, here's an elderly lady who lives alone.
Could be.
You know?
Could be.
She's so out in the community, it's...
Yeah.
She runs into all sorts of people.
She's retired, but she's still living right there near campus.
And it's a modest home. We've seen the photos. It's not a big elaborate home with ionic columns out front. It's a nice house, but it's not elaborate.
But it doesn't draw the attention of this is the place I need to break into.
Exactly.
Not at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a modest home. It is a cute as
sure.
it may
home. Little cute house.
Yes. And she's still living there and as I understand it, Scott, part of the Highlands runs near University Boulevard.
That's correct.
Right? It's right there.
Yes, it's right there.
She's still, even though she's been retired 7 years, she's still right there.
It's right across McFarland Boulevard from the campus itself. DCH Hospital is right there, and then right past that is Bryant-Denny Stadium, and then boom, you're into the middle of the campus. Well, you're in the middle of the campus before you get to the football stadium. But yeah, she's less than a mile
from
her job when she was at the library, maybe 2 miles.
And she's still just very active in everything that's going on there. And she has two sons, I believe. Yes, two sons and some grandchildren and family that just loves her. Yeah. They live all over. One son, lives several states away. Another one lives in a different country. Just looking at the information that I could find online, her family lives, from Florida to New York to other countries. I mean,
she was
kind
from
of all
North
over.
Carolina. So her children spread around the Southeast.
Yeah. She went to the University of Alabama for her master's, and it just sounds like she just fell in love with the place and she just wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
And so
it happens.
Yeah, it does. And so to talk a little bit more about this area called the Highlands, Scott, you've been able to describe it kind of where it is in the sense of how the college is laid out and the town itself is laid out. Her home is located next to the eastern entrance of the Highlands and has a driveway that connects with University Boulevard. Now, the road construction and the utilities work began earlier in February, and then she was murdered later on the 24th.
So very recently after that construction began. So there's a red light flashing in some investigator's head just after these strangers moved into this area to begin construction.
Yeah. Yes.
We have this tragedy.
But the interesting part is that the work is not set to finish for another 6 to 8 weeks. So it sounds like if you were traveling with a work crew that you would want to wait until it's almost over. Unless you intruded and you were interrupted or whatever,
right. But
again, I'm not so sure that the motive for this crime was a robbery. I mean, there are so many other houses
that you would
look at in that area.
Is there a sexual aspect?
They have not released any of that. They've not released anything that was missing from the house. I knew they were contacting her family members and people who hung around with Kate. They were trying to get a sense of what was missing.
Like with the clutters, you had the housekeeper walk through and tell us if anything's missing or not where it's supposed to be.
But they've not released any of that.
Okay.
The only thing they've told about her death was the sharp force. I got that from being stabbed by something.
Right.
Yeah.
Sharp. So we don't know any of the additional information.
Nothing about the autopsy except for that basic statement at the beginning.
Yep. So they did call the FBI in, and they met with Charles Dorsey, who is a retired FBI agent and former criminal profiler. And he did create a profile. They discuss the case with him based on the crime and the assessment of her death. His initial analysis was that it is, quote, likely that the offender was young in age and lived in close proximity to the Ragsdale residence, end quote. It is also probable that the, quote, offender walked to and from the crime scene, end quote.
Oh, gosh, so they think it's just someone who lives in the neighborhood.
The profile indicates that this individual was familiar with the location. The offender appears to exhibit an, quote, extreme lack of criminal sophistication, end quote.
Sounds to me like a teenager who wanted $50 and got caught in the house and panicked with the knife in his hand.
Possibly.
So far.
Possibly. And it also says, it should be noted that no potential suspect should be eliminated based on this profile alone, which, well, I think they say that all the time.
The standard disclaimer at the end of the FBI profile, right?
Yes. They also say an important factor in the profile is that the offender most likely will be displaying tremendous behavioral changes in the days following this horrific event. This behavior change will be obvious in the to the offender's peers, family, and friends.
Traumatic event. Unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He turns the corner and there she is. Mm-hmm. Has everybody seen season one of The White Lotus? I don't want to spoil anything. So, but anyway, just you don't expect something to happen and then it does. And so that explains why you would be traumatized, even if you are the perpetrator of this crime.
Right. So are there any leads or suspects? We don't know. They've not revealed any.
Seriously?
To this day. To
wow.
this day.
Almost 10 years later, they're still, I assume the case is still open, but they're not releasing anything. They're not trying very hard to get the public involved any more than they already are.
They are, because I was getting to that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So this is, you know, initially that year, what happens. And then pretty much every year that the anniversary of this comes up, you can find another article from, you know, from Tuscaloosa, from ABC 3340,
AL.com. The Birmingham TV affiliates, the Tuscaloosa paper, they've all got an update every year, but nothing changes in the information. It's the same exact story, just with another year added to the timeline.
And they've added a reward.
Okay.
So friends and neighbors of Kate kind of paired with the Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's Office, and they first announced a $15,000 award. Then that was paired with another $5,000 award. I believe at this point we are still, no, at this point we're up to $25,000 in award money.
For information leading to the arrest of to the arrest and conviction of the person who perpetrated this crime.
Yes.
That's the standard terminology.
Yes.
Right.
Horrible.
So they come back out with this new article and they show her picture and they talk about all of her involvement. They show the home. They show some pictures from that night from the police. Just, it's not anything that reveals anything about the crime. It's just, you see the police there and the crime tape and
The van outside and the blue lights reflecting off the shrubbery at the edge of the yard.
Yes. And so the only thing left to discuss here is the number to call if you have information leading to an arrest, a conviction, just somebody that you think should be looked at. And think about the profile that we just talked about, the change in behavior. And I know it's been 10 years, mm-hmm. but just think about that. Think about anybody that might have been from that area or would have lived in that area at that time that sort of had some serious behavioral changes. We're talking about what he said was, you know, not a sophisticated crime at all.
Right.
And almost, like you said, may have been surprised and may have not meant to kill anyone.
Yeah.
At that
And there haven't been 9 more crimes where we see, like we have done in some of these serial killer type situations where he gets more sophisticated and more confident in his methods. This sounds like a one-off ridiculous thing. The profile makes sense, even though we talked about the possibility of it being some worker who was there with the construction. Maybe that was the guy. It was still the same scenario. Mm-hmm. He walked over there during his lunch hour. He was going to look around and see if he could find some some merchandise or some money tucked away between two pages in a book, and she walked in the house.
Or maybe it was motivated. Maybe she was targeted. Maybe someone saw her. But these are just speculations because
sure,
we don't know.
Sure.
We don't know. But if you do have any information to give, you can contact Tuscaloosa Violent Crimes Unit at 205-464-8690. Or you can call Tuscaloosa Crime Stoppers at 205-752-7867. And this was a very sweet, truly community involved woman.
A pillar of the community.
Let's help bring some justice to her. I would love for us to have an update where we can name who did this and that they were brought to justice for her, for Kate, for her family.
Yes, the family deserves that.
For her friends. Yes.
And I saw the interview with the detective at the time, who has since retired, and he said, look, I think about this every day.
It keeps him up at night.
I want to solve this.
This is the one case that bothers him. You hear about that one case that really troubles someone
even after they
retired, and Kate Ragsdale is his. And so hopefully we can help with that. So if you think you might know something, if you think it's not useful, let the authorities decide if it's not useful.
Yeah.
It was just wild, an unsophisticated crime. Mm-hmm. You know.
A one-off.
Yeah.
No follow-ups, no additional crimes.
And just no leads, no
right.
No evidence left. Well, we don't know, but nothing that we know of.
Nothing that's helped so far in 10 years to find out who it was.
Just no camera footage. Wild.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. So you have the numbers, and give them a call.
I hope we help. Thank you.
I do too. Yeah. So that's the story of the wonderful, sweet librarian, Kate Ragsdale.
Very good job. As always.
Thank you for that, Kelly.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I just can't imagine her having any.
If you're not going to give us a 5-star review after today, then just stop listening to the show. We don't want you to come back. That was a fantastic job, and we want you to do that. Go on to your streaming platform of choice and leave us a 5-star review, because that helps us. One day when we are all rich and famous, we will thank all of you out there who gave us 5-star reviews for helping us achieve that ultimate goal.
But you have to give a 5-star review, and you have to comment, because otherwise we don't know you've
Yeah, and then we'll give you a shout out on the show. We love to do that. And we haven't done that in a couple of weeks now. So somebody out there new who is a listener who hasn't told us who and where you are, do that, and we will bring it.
I love it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Are we done? Nothing else?
Nope.
Good night, everybody.